Good evening. Welcome to the service tonight. Appreciate each one that's come and good songs. Appreciate the special. Thank our visitors for coming and meeting with us here tonight. I have a different opinion of what Brother Miller said about me. I feel like the church made a mistake when they called for me to help. But nevertheless, I'll try to do my best, do what I can do. And you know, it don't matter. It seems like no matter how much I meditate, and try to read, and try to pray, it just seems like I never get to that place where I really need to get to. And what I mean by that I just... that I feel so weak, and I guess, well, I know that it ain't about Buddy, and I can't do it on my own. It's all about the Lord. It's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I do have a desire for your prayers tonight. I don't want to really pick anybody out to embarrass you, but I want to say that I appreciate Brother Randall and Sister Strode. As far back as I can remember, when we start revival, they are always dedicated, being here, supporting us. Just about every night, there's just a few times that I can recall of them not being able to be here, but most of the time they're here, and I tell you, and I've told them personally that I appreciate that. I wish, and I told them this a while ago, that I wish our own members was as dedicated when our revival starts as being here and supporting it than what they have been. I believe that they would, that we would see great things happen. But you know what? The ones that are here tonight, Jesus said he'd be in the midst of us. If we would gather, one, two, or three, whatever it is, if we're together in his name, that he would be in the midst of us. So I pray tonight that he will be in the midst of us tonight. That those that are not here with us, that they'll miss a blessing. But y'all pray for me as I try to read a little bit of his words and the things that I've meditated up on. I'll begin in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Beginning with the 12th verse. It says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, and by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in the darkness saw great, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then I want to turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And most of you have heard this a lot. It's unchanging. It's the Word of God. Amen. It's here for us to read, and it's here for us to preach. And no matter how many times you hear it, sometimes it just has to be gone over and gone over and gone over time after time. I get in class with these kids on Wednesday night, and I try to teach them about God's Word, and we'll go back on the following Wednesday and I'll start asking them questions, and sometimes they don't really remember what we studied. So sometimes it just has to, you just have to keep on keeping on and keep repeating it, that they might be able to absorb it in their heads and they'll be able to remember these things. I just read that in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, repent. Well, here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the first verse, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to drop down to the 6th verse. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repentance and faith is inseparable graces brought on by God, brought on by the Spirit. You know, the preachers will stand and we preach repentance. And we try to tell people that you must repent. If you're going to be born again, you must repent. If you're ever going to be saved by the grace of God, you must repent. But there's something else we also preach. We preach that you must have faith. You might need to trust and believe in the Word of God and the things that the preacher brings before you. Even though that you hadn't seen the things that the preachers talk about, repentance and faith is inseparable graces, and it's something that you got to have. It's something you got to do before you ever get saved by the grace of God, before you're ever born of the Spirit. And I believe that the somebody that can back that up in the Word of God, Paul says this. This was written in the, Luke wrote this in the 20th chapter of Acts. Beginning with the 20th verse, it says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Repentance and faith. They're inseparable. They go hand in hand. I don't think you're going to get saved just by repenting. And I don't think you're going to get saved by the grace of God by just having faith. Because repentance, I know a lot of people think, well, it's just sorrow. It's more than just sorrow. It's God revealing to you, letting you know who you are and what you are. And what is that? It's a sinner. We're sinners. Every one of us that's born into this world, we're born as sinners. And when we talk about repentance, it's having a change of mind, and we have to be careful and everything, because we talk about people try to get saved, that it's always just a mind work. But you know what? We have to be intelligent enough to have a mind to understand that what the preachers are saying and what the preachers are preaching is the truth. Repentance. Repentance toward God. Well, you got to repent. You have to have a change of mind, that realizing that you are a sinner and that you're so, that you're in great danger, that you're in need of a Savior, and that you turn toward God with a contrite spirit, that you turn to God with that broken heart. And I'm not just speaking to the lost tonight either. I want you to think about church, how we need to repent. Amen. Even how we need to have faith. Yes. I've heard several mention tonight about how they're looking for great expectations. Are you really? Do you really have the faith that we need to have that we can see the manifestation of God tonight? We got to have it. So repentance. Yeah, it's being sorry for the things that we do. But you don't. There's sometimes you don't have to just do something wrong. You got to understand, lost person, you got to understand that you was born of the seed of Adam and that you're a sinner by birth. That sin was transferred to us from generation to generation to generation. There's not a one of us without sin. And there's not a one that got by without repenting toward God. We've got to do it. You've got to repent. You've got to realize and understand who you are and what you are. And then you turn toward God. We talk about faith. You've got to have faith. You know the scriptures here that I read over here in the 11th chapter. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to diligently seek him. You got to feel till you find him. You got to search after him. It's the word of God. Repentance and faith. I thought about the thief on the cross. I'll turn over here to Luke, the 23rd chapter. And I think about when Jesus was taken to the cross at Calvary. You know, that thief, that malefactor that was on the cross beside Jesus, he said, remember me. He said, remember me. But you know what? I don't know how much you've ever thought about it, but you know that he repented right there on that cross before he even asked Jesus to do that? He did. Amen. I'm going to read it here. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. It says, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. The thief on the cross, he knew and understood that he deserved of what he was getting. But he also understood and knew that the Jesus that was on the cross in between them, he didn't deserve what he was getting. But you know what? He realized and understood who Jesus was. He realized and understood what he did was wrong, but I don't think it's just him being a thief that he realized that he was wrong, but knew that he was a sinner. He was standing up for Jesus there, talking to that other thief. And I believe that seeing this, does not thou fear God? I believe he had a change of heart. I believe he was repenting at that time. I think he realized that he needed to repent toward God and in his heart. Maybe not so much of the things that was said with the lips of his mouth, but in his heart he repented toward God, and that's what we've got to do. It's with the heart. Amen. Yes, we've got to have our mind to understand the things that the preachers preach and the things that are said, but you've got to have that repentative heart, that broken heart and that broken spirit, that contrite spirit that we talk about. Being convicted This man, I believe, on the cross, he realized that he was convicted of his sins, not just because of the crime that he committed, but he was convinced that he was a sinner. And you know what? He knew he was on the path straight to hell. As he stood there or hung there on that cross, he knew he was on the path to hell. But you know what? That goes to show you how much of a loving God we really have, that even though that he wasn't on his deathbed, but he was near death, but he was hanging on the cross, that God still had mercy on him. That he let him and see that he was in need of a Savior, hanging right there on the cross. It says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." It says, "But this man hath done nothing amiss," meaning that he has done nothing wrong. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I believe he repented there on that cross. But you know what else he had? He had faith. He believed that man that was hanging between him and that other malefactor, that he had faith that he was the Son of God. And that's why he asked him, "Lord, remember me." I'm glad that one day the Lord remembered me. I wasn't hanging on a cross. I wasn't on that hill at Calvary. But I was headed to the same place that that man was headed to, and that was the devil's hell. But he remembered me and showed me who I was, what I was, and what I was in need of. Amen. And that was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Repentance. You know, when Jesus began his ministry, and not just him, John, the one we call John the Baptist, that says that he was the forerunner of Christ, the son of Elizabeth, a cousin to Jesus, says he was the forerunner of Christ. And what did he preach to the people before Jesus ever come on the scene? He preached repentance. Yeah, he was preparing, God was using him to prepare the people before Jesus ever came. Well, they took Jesus, they nailed him to the cross, they crucified him. He gave his life for us. He bled and died for us. But he was, after they took him off the cross, he was buried and he rose again. He was around his disciples, the apostles, for 40 days. Then it was time for him to leave. It was time for him to go to be with the Father. And he ascended up in heaven. But before he ascended, and we believe that when he started his ministry, that he started around 30 years old. And we've talked about this before. If you count the Passovers and stuff through the years, that when Jesus was crucified, he was approximately 33 and a half years old. If you count the Passovers each year. Now, he was crucified, he died, he was risen, and he was among those that witnessed him being alive. There was those that witnessed the nail prints in his hands, in his feet. One day after a while, I haven't seen Jesus with my physical eyes. I've seen him and felt him with my heart. But you know, one day, could be tonight, could be tomorrow, 20 years, I don't know. But I'm going to see my Jesus. And I'm going to see the nail prints in his hand. And for you that are younger, maybe not understand, have you ever seen anybody that has had heart surgery? The scars that are left? Or any other surgery that somebody might have had? There's something left over. There's a scar and you can physically see it. Maybe you've got scars on your body where you were just out playing and something happened and you cut yourself or you scraped yourself and you've got scars on your knees or something. They're left over. But you know what? The nail prints on Jesus' hands and on his feet, they're still there. And we that's been saved by his grace, one day after a while, when we go to heaven, we're going to see those scars. We're going to see the prints that was left over by the nails. But I'm going to get back here. In his beginning of his ministry, he preached repentance. But after he's crucified and he walked among man 40 years, I'm getting back to where I got away from. But after those 40 days, and he was fixed to ascend up and be with his Father, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. He still preached repentance. It didn't change. He still preached repentance. And said, behold, I send thee a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And this is another place I'm fixing ahead. I want you to remember this. Be endued with power from on high. And he left them. He was ascended up into heaven. But in Acts, turn to it. I'll get there here in just a minute. Jesus ascended up into heaven. And he told them to wait on the Spirit of God. And they had gathered together and they went into Jerusalem and they went up in this other upper room. And church, this is to you. It says they went up into the other room and verse 14 out of the first chapter says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Did you hear what that said? They continued with one accord in prayer. That they had come together in harmony with one another. Church, the Lord has blessed us. Amen. We've been through some trials and tribulations, and we've been through this construction, the addition of the church. There's people's feelings been hurt. I mean, I've heard things said. There's not a one of us here that probably hadn't heard different things that's been said. Feelings have been hurt, things have been said, but you know what? The Lord has blessed us. We need to get ourselves out of the way. We need to come together as a church. We need to come to God's people and get our differences away. If we want to see the blessings of God manifested, we need to get right with God. Amen. God's people need to get right with Him. Amen. That we get our hearts right. And you see these people that gathered in the upper room, they were in one accord. It goes on to say over here in another part, it says they were in one accord again, that they were in great harmony with one another. And you know what happened? Exactly what Jesus told them was going to happen. The Spirit of God come up on them. And they were rejoicing, and then there were people from every nation under heaven that heard them speaking in their own language. That the Spirit of God come upon them because they were in harmony with one another. If we want to see great things to happen in this revival, we've got to come together like they were that day. The Spirit of God did not come down on them because they were sitting around twiddling their thumbs or thinking about other things that was going on or thinking about the world. I think they had pushed those things out of the way. And they was focused on one thing. They was focused on God. Can you imagine the things that was going through their head? They had just seen Jesus crucified. They had just seen the man that they had walked with for 3.5 years and saw a man that performed many miracles and done many things. And they saw him nailed to the cross. But then they saw him rose from the grave. Can you really imagine what was going through their minds? And not just that, but after he told them to continue to repent, to preach, and spread the word repentance, they saw him arise into heaven to be with his Father. And I don't think he was taken out just that quick because it says that they stood and they watched him ascend up in the clouds into heaven. Think about what these people saw and what they were going through. But when they came into that upper room with one another, it shows that they put all the differences to the side, I believe, and they came together. They were in prayer for one another. They were in prayer for themselves. But for the ministry of Jesus that he left behind for them to preach. I believe they was in prayer for that. But you know what? Jesus promised them that he would send the Spirit of God to them, and they received the Spirit of God. The things that happened that day didn't happen because they were sitting around doing nothing. They were busy. Church, we're going to have to get busy. We as God's people, if we want to see miracles happen, and I tell you what, they can happen. The God that this day is talked about in the day of Pentecost, that they was in one accord and the Spirit of God came down on them and Peter started preaching the word and started preaching repentance, telling them that they were the ones that crucified. They might not literally or were the ones that put the nails in his hands, but because of their sins, they put Jesus on that cross. We're guilty, people. Every one of us. Amen. We're guilty. We put Jesus on that cross. But he didn't have to do it, did he? No, he didn't. He did it because he loved us. Twelfth verse of the second chapter. It says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt. Now this was the man that was around the Jews and all those that from different countries. So they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another,
What meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Their cup was running over, but it wasn't because of the new wine.
Amen.
It was because they was filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
A little bit later, 15th verse, as Peter was standing and he was talking to him, he said, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. I want to invite you to a party tonight, people.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. And when I say a party, it's not like a party of going to a birthday party or parties where a lot of these young kids go out and they start getting drunk on wine or beer or alcohol. Church, I want to invite you to a party tonight that we might come pray together, just as these were up in that upper room, that were praying in one accord. And when God manifested himself, things happened.
Yeah.
When Peter stood and started preaching the word of God and preaching Jesus to them, things happened.
Yeah.
Why? Because they were in prayer with one another. They was in the same accord. They had come together as a church. Well, maybe I don't know if I want to say the church at the time, but I believe the church was organized in my thoughts, and people might have different thoughts about it, but I believe when Jesus came and was baptized by John, that he started the church then. How do you become a member of the church of God? You get saved first, and then you're baptized. Is that not what we do? We get saved by the grace of God. Then after we're saved, we get baptized showing what happened to us.
Yeah.
We don't get baptized before we get saved. We get baptized after we get saved.
Right.
And I believe when Jesus came to John the Baptist and he was baptized, in my heart, I believe that's when the church started. I believe that's when he started setting up his church. Because here, he hadn't been ascended long into heaven. You know, it says he walked 40 days and then the people went into Jerusalem. They went up into the upper room. The Spirit of God came down on them. Peter started preaching and every man knew and understood what preacher was saying, even though that they spoke a different language. It goes on to tell us that as he was preaching that their hearts become pricked. They found trouble. They found sorrow. The word of God pierced their hearts. It pricked their hearts. And you know what? People got saved that day. It tells us that 3,000 people got saved during the time of Peter's preaching. And what's it say? That they were added to the church daily. So that tells me the church was already set up. That's the way I take it. Church, we serve a God that is unchanging. The things that happened the day of Pentecost, all those that were saved, it could still happen today. He's unchanging. What happened that day? And if we want the Spirit of God, we need to pray it down. That he might come amongst us. That he might manifest his power. That he might manifest his spirit. Now if you have doubt that can happen, that's where I was talking about church. That this is toward us. If our hearts ain't right, the first things that's standing in our way, we need to come to God and repent to him for things that might be standing in our way. If there's sin in our life, whatever it might be, that we can't get where we need to be, we need to repent toward God.
Amen.
And now that you have doubts that he can't do the things that the day of Pentecost when it talks about 3,000 souls get saved, church, that's where our faith needs to come in. that we need to have the faith that the things that he did that day, that he is still able to do it.
Amen.
The scriptures tell us and teach us that he's an unchanging God. Who's changed? We have. We have. We've let Satan blind us, even as God's people. Now, he can't get our soul, but we have let Satan blind us so that we don't work for the Lord like we should. And I'm talking about myself here too, people. If we want to see things, if we want to see God, if we want to see Jesus manifested, we want to see his power, we got to get down on our knees and pray our hearts out to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not with doubt, but with faith.
Yeah.
Believing and knowing that he can show up just like he did that day where souls got saved. Why did he show up that day that way? It's because people, those that were praying, and it tells us prayers and supplications, that they were in one accord with prayers and supplications. And I believe that's why the Spirit of God showed up with the power that it had. It can still do it, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It can still do it. And that's what I was saying to you a while ago. I invite you tonight at a party is a group of organized people that can come together, that can come together for a purpose. Are we here tonight for a purpose? I hope we're not here tonight just because we feel like that we were obligated to be here. I hope we're here tonight because you want to serve the Lord. That you want to see his power manifested. Is that why you're here? Did you come just because you felt like it was your responsibility? If it was, I'm glad you're here, but there's more to it than just showing up.
Amen.
We've got to serve him. Not serve ourselves, but to serve our Lord and Savior. Jesus, the one that died on the cross, the one that came in the world and preached repentance. Jesus said that they could be endued with power, and they were. But church, I believe with all my heart, if we would get our hearts right, if we could come together in one accord, we will be endued with power too. We would be able to see the power of God manifested. We can see and witness his saving power. We've seen it before, and we've been saved by the grace of God. We've felt it before. But church, we got to get off our tails. We got to push the world out of the way. And boy, so much stuff going on. We get caught up in it so easy. Get caught in it so easy. Oh, that old devil, he's a sly fox, ain't he?
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. He does. But I want the power of God to be manifested here inside of these four walls that Satan wouldn't even be allowed to get inside here and mess with those that are sinners and even mess with the church to hinder us in any way. You know what? We can be endued with enough power. We can have the Spirit of God here in such a mighty way that the devil could not get inside these walls.
Amen.
Is that what you want? Is that what you would like to see? It can happen if we get where we need to be. I believe if we get our hearts where they need to be, God would manifest himself to us. Jesus would manifest himself to us.
Amen.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we've got to get our hearts right. In Isaiah 46:9, He recorded this, and this is God. He says, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Think about Elijah with the contest that he was in. The battle or the test with the prophets of Baal. They called on a God that could not answer. But Elisha called on a God that could answer.
Amen.
Why could he answer? Because he's real.
Yeah.
Once again, I am God, and there is none like me. Church, I invite you tonight that we come to this altar and come together in prayer. Come together that we might be in one accord. To get ourselves out of the way and try to reach Lord like we've never reached it before. Now, we reached it one time when the Lord saved our soul. But I want us to come together, the church. And I'm not here to try to work things up and try to make things happen. I'm just trying to instruct you and tell you what we need to do in order for God and for our Lord Jesus Christ to make things happen. But we've got to come together. Do your part. Whatever it might be, do your part. But the day of Pentecost, God showed up in a mighty way because they were in prayer, and that's where we need to be. So I invite you to a praying party tonight that God may manifest Himself tonight. Visitors, come. Everybody, sinners, if you're lost and you know you're lost and you know you need to be saved, come. Come and pray. Let's all come and pray. Everybody, come and pray. Some of you may not feel like it. Some of you might not be able. I know you can pray in your seats, but let's pray that the power of God will be manifested here in this meeting. That we will see lost souls saved, and we will see the church revived. Let's pray together.